come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What?
That, for people that do not know, 10 Bells is a big salute in the combat world, the boxing world, the MMA world. And recently, just a couple days ago, kind of a legend in the Tampa Bay area, kind of a legend in the boxing world, Jimmy Williams, formerly Antonio Tarver's trainer, passed away. I don't know if you're aware of that, Matthew.
I heard that just a few days ago. So the condolences to the family.
Yeah, it's a shame. What a good quality guy. And I tweeted out to Antonio that Jimmy always treated me like he knew me. And, you know, we've interviewed him a few times. He came into the studio once with Antonio. And just the way that he treated us, like I said, was like he knew us. And he didn't really know us yet. And just a good quality guy. And it's a shame. And I'm not quite sure what RIP means. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know what it means. But that's what you typically say. So,
and you, maybe you can tell me, but I think he was 92. Is that correct?
I don't know how old he was.
Right. He definitely lived a full and meaningful life, and we should all be so lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, with that said, we're going to do what Jimmy Williams and Antonio Tarver would want us to do, and we're going to move on. We're going to talk about a lot of combat sports. Broadcasting at least half of Knockout Radio. I'm coming to you live from the UFC Media Room just outside of Philadelphia. I believe we're in Wilmington, Delaware at the UFC Hotel. Scheduled to appear momentarily, Michael Johnson. Then we're going to have the return of David Branch. I spoke to him in the lobby. It's been a little over 4.5 years since David last did Knockout Radio. Before you were involved, it was live from a shooting range. They were in town for an event. And a bunch of guys came down, and we did a live remote from one of the gun ranges. The Karate Hottie, Michelle Watterson, will be on in the second hour, as well will Desmond Green. So a lot of good guests coming on. Extremely excited to be in my hometown. I know I was only born here, and I always say that I was born in Philadelphia. I didn't necessarily live here until I went into the Navy, and then I was stationed here. But It's been a cool time. I've only been here a couple hours. We went out to, I went out to the Navy Yard. I took some photos. I ran to a delicatessen, or really a diner, as soon as I landed and got not one, but two plates of Scrapple, which I don't know, do you know much about Scrapple?
I don't. It's probably some kind of like mashed potato gravy something.
No, not at all. Scrapple is basically the stuff that is too bad to be in a hot dog.
Oh.
And it's okay. Fried up, and it's quite delicious.
So it's like gumbo. It's like the leftovers.
Well, no, it's not a soup. No, it's not a soup. It's grilled.
And it's so, just leftovers of like the main courses.
Not really, but sure. That's what we'll go with.
All right.
It's a delicacy to some, and it's garbage to others.
Sounds like our show.
Yeah. Okay. We can go with that. Lot on the schedule here in Philadelphia. The open workouts will be later this afternoon, and I'll shoot back to the City of Brotherly Love for that. Then tomorrow will be a media kind of scrum with a lot of the fighters from the hotel. Then I'm going to head off to opening day. Opening day up here in Philadelphia. Yes, you have opening day there in Tampa Bay as well. But I will be headed to opening day tomorrow with the Phillies and the Braves. So I'm looking forward to that. Then I'll go cover your 76ers Trust the Process with former UFC employee Dave Schaller, now in charge of media relations over there. Friday night's the big KISS concert. Saturday, UFC on ESPN. So a lot of cool stuff here in what I like to call my city, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia.
Sounds like an action-packed weekend.
And what are you doing?
I'm actually sitting on the beach in Panama City, just enjoying a little family vacation. But always take the time to contribute and be a part of this show. Always takes top priority in my week. So
I'm going to pretend that I'm Matthew McClellan, and I'm going to say what I'm surprised you didn't say. Panama City has a beach?
Oh, Panama City is an amazing beach. It's amazing.
Well, they did, but, you know, after the hurricane and all that kind of stuff, you know.
No, that happened down in Mexico Beach. So that's about an hour east of where we are. We're actually, but all day long, there's always military choppers and helicopters and planes, fighter jets flying by and grazing the coast. So it's quite entertaining and pretty cool to be up here.
Okay, well, chill out on that. I'm going to welcome to the show Michael Johnson. Mike, how are you?
Yeah, good, good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Talk to me about, and I know that a lot of people have brought this up, I was born in Philadelphia. I love the city, even though I don't live here anymore. Well, what's it mean to fight in a fighting city? Philadelphia is known for fighting.
Yeah, it's great, man. It feels incredible to come here and, you know, fight in the city of brotherly love. But yet it's known for fighting, you know. So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
An oxymoron.
Yeah, I know, right? So, you know, it's good. It's incredible. You know, obviously all the Rocky history and that. And, you know, it's a great sports city and everything. I'm just, you know, happy to be here. Right.
Can you draw off of, you know, the audience, you know, you fought all over the country, all over the world. I've followed it all over the country, all over the world. You know, and it bothers me sometimes when crowds don't show up until main events or sometimes even after the main event. I expect the arena in Philadelphia to be packed from the very first fight. Can you draw off that in the attitudes that's going on in the stands?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the crowd gives the arena huge energy. You know, everybody knows that. You know, they make the arena. You know, I know we're putting on the show, but it's the fans and the, you know, the crowd that really gets all the energy and everything going. And you can definitely feed off of it. And I'm excited to feed off of that energy this weekend.
Can you hear fans? You know, a lot of times you hear all those, you know, the typical stupid, get them a body bag and sweep the leg and all that kind of stuff. Can you hear that? Or can you decipher the coaches and the screams and your teammates that are yelling at you? How do you do all that?
All of it. You know, I can hear my coaches. I can hear the crowd. You know, I can hear the other people's coaches and, you know, everything, you know, but I'm so focused in there mentally that, you know, none of it's distractions. You know, it's just it's a normal to me to this point.
What's the funniest thing, since you said you hear the coaches, the funniest thing that you've thought about in the middle of the fight? And the reason I'm asking you that is I was asking one of the fighters, I don't remember who, and they said that they were fighting Dennis Siever, obviously from Germany. Mm-hmm. He heard Dennis Siever's coaches talking in German, and he started to think of the movie Glorious Bastards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so is something strange, funny ever happened to you in the middle of a fight like that?
No, not really. I can just, actually my last fight, you know, Artem Lobov, I was fighting him. He threw like a weird, like hammer punch fist while we're on our feet. And I like, well, what the F was that? You know, and he starts laughing. I can hear his coaches start laughing and everything. I think that was probably like the extent of, you know, something being so funny because I heard everybody laugh and enjoy it. So.
Is that, you know, so many times fighters tell me I'm out there having a good time. I can't understand punching somebody in the face or getting punched in the face is having a good time. But it sounds like where you're laughing at something like that, that you are. You're having a good time in the middle of a fight.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's what you have to have. You know, you have to have fun. You have to enjoy what you're in there doing. And if I'm not having fun, you know, there's no reason for me to do it. You know, like I said, like, this isn't work to me. You know, this isn't like something that I have to go do. This is something that I choose to do because I love it and I enjoy it so much. So me having fun and playing as if it's a game, you know, it just makes, you know, everything more easier. No pressure on me.
MMA has come a long way since UFC 1. And as we grow up as children, obviously I did it a long time ago. You've only done it a couple years ago as growing up. You know, we watch that four-letter network, ESPN. We watch baseball. We watch everything on that. What's it like to now fight on ESPN? You haven't done it yet. What do you think it's going to be like?
You know, It's going to be the same every fight. You know, it's just how we're getting put out there now, how we're going to get broadcast. You know, I think being tied to ESPN gives us more credibility as a true sport going forward, because you see the main four sports, you know, the hockey, baseball, you know, basketball, football, et cetera. And you look at those are what people consider real professional athletes. You know, they're always seen. Now we're going to be considered real professional athletes. You know, we might not make the money these guys make, but, you know, we're still in the same network.
Wait a second. You're not making Bryce Harper money?
Yeah, I wish. We're not even making a quarter of Bryce Harper money, maybe a decimal of it. But, you know, eventually some things will change, and, you know, I hope they'll be looking up.
Have you seen, watching ESPN, your name on the crawl, you know, as it comes across for the fight on Saturday night? And if you have seen it, that's got to be exciting as well.
Yeah, no, I have not. I've not seen it yet. And, you know, so I'll be looking out for the results Sunday.
11 years as a pro?
Yes, 11 years in the UFC. For about 2009 was the premiere of The Ultimate Fighter. So what are we, like 2019? Yeah, so yeah, just about.
How has your training changed since your first professional fight almost 11, a little over 11 years ago, to this week?
It's not as intense. You know, like when I was young, getting into the sport, I tried to do as much as possible. You know, I tried to work out all day, every day, do 4 days, you know, always making sure I need to get workouts in, because that's what I saw to be successful. Like, I have to overwork and overtrain my body. Years went on and I got older and older, and I started realizing, hey, I have experience now. You know, I don't need to put in all this extra time. I need to train smart now, make sure my body's healthy enough to get to the fights. And, you know, me being a mature veteran right now, it's definitely changed, and I have a better outlook on the game.
When you're fighting somebody, do you have to dislike them? You know, some guys dislike, some guys, you know, they can be like Eve Edwards and everybody loves them, or Usman, who we're going to talk about here shortly. I mean, where do you fall on that?
I try not to dislike my opponents at all. You know, I think if you go in there with like a dislike or some type of mad or angriness, you're going to make mistakes. You know, you're not going to be fighting level-headed. So it's easier to go in there, you know, clear-headed. You know, you don't have to be friends with the guy, but cordial. You know, you don't have to disrespect somebody to fight them. You know, like, you don't have to talk trash or anything. Like, you're going to fight. Like, both of you guys are going to have a chance to beat the other. So there's no reason to do any of that.
Well, and that's kind of what mixed martial arts was back in the day when the UFC first kind of started. It was all this respect stuff, which is why I love the sport. So, you know, I'd love to hear that you don't need to do the other, that you can stay, you know, as a sportsman, you know, and show some class and then go in and be combative. Just happens to be a fight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's all it is. You know, there's no need talking about the other guy. And, you know, why? You put extra pressure on yourself to do that, because you go in the fight and then you lose. And now, guess what? It's a little bit worse because you were talking on the trash.
And now they can even talk more.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you watch a fight as a fan, or when you're watching a fight, are you always trying to pick stuff up and learn and to better your craft?
Yeah, it just depends on who I'm watching and who I'm fighting. I try not to watch, and there's no offense, but I try not to watch the younger guys that just got into the sport or anything like that, because you might fall into something by watching them and they make a lot of mistakes. You know, they fight wild. They don't really fight smart. You know, they're fighting to please the crowd and to not get wins, you know, so they'll make simple mistakes. But, like, I love watching guys like, you know, John Jones or, you know, George St. Pierre, you know, guys like this who I can really learn from and see how they break the game down to when they fight.
Tell us what we need to know about your opponent.
His name's Josh Emmett.
Right. Do you look at his old fights and see what he's done good and, you know, where he's suffered some things? Is that kind of like football?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a little homework, but not too much. You know, I watch some of his fights. I pick up on some tendencies, but I watch the fights mainly to see where I will be effective in what he's doing, you know. And then after that, I turn it off and I get back to training, because I try not to get too caught up in what my opponent's going to do, because then I forget about my own game, and then that's an issue.
Well, and I've always wanted to ask you guys, you know, a lot of athletes talk about their game plan. Mike Tyson made the comment, everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the face. Well, once the fight starts, doesn't the game plan, whether you're doing good or bad, kind of get thrown out because you're both reacting to each other?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, my game plan is simple and basic. You know, that's it. Because you have to be able to change on the fly. Like, things in the fight aren't going to go the way that you expect them to go. You know, like, you might slip on something, or, you know, he might get in a position that you didn't really, you know, plan on. And then you got to react and you got to, you know, change things. So it's all about thinking on the fly and being able to adapt.
Before we close out and talk about the fight itself, which is why you're here, why we're here, you know, to cover the event, how do you chill? How do you relax? How do you kind of block out what you do for a living?
I read a lot, man. My mental is something that's very important to me, especially during fight week. You know, I just sit in my room. The TV barely comes on. You know, I'm reading numerous books, you know, always just working on what I need to do to stay focused. Hands up, straight punches, always reminding myself of these things. And then that's it. And then I just relax, hang out with my friends and my coaches, you know, sleep and focus on the fight.
Can you ever get away from thinking about fighting, you know, whether it's fight week or, you know, next week when you're going to have some time off? Mm-hmm. Can you ever block out, you know, the fight game?
As a true fighter and myself, absolutely not. Like, there's not a day goes by that I'm not thinking about fighting. There's not an instant goes by where I don't start shadow boxing, you know, for no reason, or throwing a punch, you know, for any reason. It's just, I guess it's just my mind doing it. You know, it's always me reminding myself, like, hey, this is what we are. This is what we're doing. Like, get ready to go into training or practice. Or so my mind's always on fighting.
Now, do you do that like when you're walking through Publix or something?
Absolutely. It's so strange. Yeah, I do that. Even it's weird. You might think it's bad, but I'll walk into a place and I'll see guys like, oh, I'll kick that dude's butt. I'll beat up him up. And then, you know, and then it's never really worried about it. So might be a little disadvantage, but, you know, I always find that kind of like an aggressive mindset where I'm always thinking about it.
I think it's better when you do it. I found myself doing it in the driveway 2 days ago, and I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, I was trying not to even think about anything. I got a new toy. I was telling Dave this. It's a motorized bicycle that comes in a backpack.
Oh, wow.
And you open it up, and you can ride it for 10 miles. And right, as I was putting it together and everything, I just start shadow boxing. I'm like, why am I doing this? This doesn't even make sense.
See, being active and putting the bike together, you know, you want to get up and get moving. So,
what can we expect as we're sitting back watching ESPN, your fight against Josh?
You can expect a great fight, you know, between two great competitors that are going here, and, you know, they're trying to get to the top. You know, I'm a veteran. You know, he's just getting into the sport not too long ago. But, man, expect a great war. Expect me to be fully focused 110% and do what I need to do to get the win.
Is it just as much fun today for this fight on Saturday as it was 11 years ago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a blast when I do this. Even my training. You know, like, I fell into a little slump where my training wasn't really that fun to me. Then I had to take a step back and, you know, and to kind of miss it a little bit and then really get that love back for the sport and training and fighting. And, you know, like I said, this is something I love to do. I love to fight. You know, I'm getting into the sport. I was a knucklehead, so I fought and I kind of got into trouble. But I loved fighting. So now I get rewarded for fighting and I do this. And, you know, it makes me a better person at the end of the day.
You can't get in trouble. You know, when you're fighting in the octagon, you can't get in trouble. It's all there. And you're getting paid. It's really a good job if you like to do it.
And you're growing fans. You know, so, you know, you can't beat it.
What one thing would you like to tell the national audience about you that they may not know?
Pretty nice, loving, caring guy. But, you know, I think people might know that. You know, like I said, I have a huge heart. Well, give, you know, to the people I care about, to the people I love about. I'm a huge, my morals between friends and family are just like, they will never get broken. You know, loyalty is a big thing on my part. And, you know, that goes a long way for me. So if you're my friend, you're my friend for life, you know, until you're my family. And then, you know, there's no getting away from us.
You know, and that's something that I used to try to push early days. You know, when MMA first kind of started and the UFC kind of first came out, that fans, and they're starting to get to know that most of the athletes are great people. Mm-hmm. This is what they do, and it's their career, but they're great guys and women, you know. And I think it's taken a long time for other fans that have not been fans of MMA to realize that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, we fight, you know, we fight for a living. So what's the reason to be mad or angry or aggressive 24/7 of the day? Like, you train and you fight, it should be out of your system. You know, and, you know, the world's definitely starting to notice that. But also, it's not helping with some of these guys out here still out in the streets, you know, doing things, you know, getting themselves in trouble. So, you know, as a group of fighters, you know, we all have to kind of, you know, take care of each other in the sense of know how you need to act in public and, you know, don't, you know, put yourself out to get exposed.
Hey, Matt, I think I'm a better person for sitting down for the past 10 minutes with you, Mike. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
Best of luck on Saturday. I need to get your address and info. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong for coming down and spending some time with us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt, I'm going to send it back to you for a minute.
All right, guys. So it's Randy live at UFC event in Philadelphia this week. Michael Domenis Johnson. Man, this guy. I mean, I know we talk about it in the past, and we talk about how people – they have easy roads to the Hall of Fame or easy roads to victories. But this guy's a warrior. I mean, he's fought everybody in the division. He's taken on. He's beat Artem. He's beat Andre Feely. His losses, he had three in a row to Darren Elkins, Justin Gaethje, Khabib, the champion. They beat Dustin Poirier. He lost to Nate Diaz. But this guy's not afraid to fight. He's not afraid to take any fight out there. And so you definitely got to give it up to him. This could be an amazing fight with this weekend against Josh Emmett, another warrior. Both these guys are just going to scrap it out. And I predict that somebody's going to go to sleep. I don't think either one of these guys are going to let it go to a decision. So it's definitely going to be action-packed and exciting to see up there in Philadelphia. And I think going even back further, he beat Tony Ferguson on the UFC event on Fox, Diaz versus Miller. And a unanimous decision against Tony Ferguson. So this guy literally has the Hall of Fame credentials. Even though the record's only 19 wins and 13 losses, definitely a guy you want to keep an eye on out there slugging it out. So I wish I was with Randy, but as he said, I'm currently in Panama City doing a little personal vacay with the family. So couldn't make it up there this week, but I'm looking forward to joining Randy in Atlanta in 2 weeks on, I don't even know what that UFC fight card is, but it's April 13th.
So all right, why don't we do this? Why don't we go hit this break real quick, and then when we come back, we're going to push back the interview that we were going to do, and we are still going to get Irene Levy-Baker on. She wrote a couple books about Philadelphia places that I need to go try. So we're going to get her on after our next interview with David Branch. But let's try to get back on track a little bit. Let's hit this break. And then when we come back, David Branch should be here in the media room. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Hey, it's Bud Bunny, the host of Kegs and Eggs, Tampa's only adult egg hunt. Free beer, free music, free games and contests, food trucks and more. Search for eggs with over $75,000 in cash and prizes. Party starts at 11. Egg hunt starts at 1. No jelly beans, just jello shots from this bunny. Information and tickets at kegsandeggstampa.com.
The world's most exotic cars are gathering for Festivals of Speed, presented by Burt Smith Porsche, Sunday, April 7th in St. Petersburg's Fenway Park. Festivals of Speed is a gathering of 300-plus exotic, classic American muscle cars and motorcycles. Names like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Porsche will all be on display. Be a VIP with tickets to the VIP section. Enjoy open bar, great food, exclusive settings, and more. For information, visit festivalsofspeed.com. That's festivals with an S of speed.com or call 352-406-9325. That's 352-406-9325.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, Blackstone Millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Party like a pirate at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Open weekends February 16th through March 31st. Discount coupons available at Hungry Howie's Pizza. Discount tickets available at Circle K and BayAreaRenFest.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Baseball Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from, I'm going to say Philly. We're just outside Philadelphia, about 16 miles. They needed me to be 16 miles away so that I can walk back and I won't put on too much weight from all the food that I'm about to eat over the next couple of days.
That's a great strategy.
I'm telling you what, and I kind of hit a scafu in that my rental car, I cannot return until 4 a.m. on Sunday. My plan was, as soon as the UFC was over, as soon as the media, all of that was over, I was going to go over to Pat's and Gino's and eat two cheesesteaks, drop the car off, and then go and fall asleep at the airport. But since I can't return the car now till 4, I'm going to drive around and hit every cheesesteak place I can find for 4 hours.
Wow. That's dedication.
Well, there's also, I have the address, and I went with a former UFC employee last time, but I didn't realize Saturday night, Sunday morning, and the difference. There's a place not far from the arenas where they bake the hot pretzels that they sell on the street corner. So you can go there between 2 and 4 in the morning and get them right out of the oven.
Oh, man, that sounds legendary.
So much for, my keto. But let's try to find out a little bit more about things I need to hit and things we need to hit while we're here in Philadelphia. On the phone with us right now is Irene Levy Baker, who wrote a couple interesting books, 100 Things to Do in Philadelphia Before You Die or Before I Leave on Sunday, and Unique Eats and Eateries of Philadelphia. Irene, how are you?
Hi, Randy. I'm so happy to be here to talk to you about Philadelphia today.
We appreciate your time. Let's get right into it. National audience is flying in, UFC on Saturday, obviously the Philly home opener tomorrow, so a lot of fans, sports fans are going to be coming in. What's towards the top of the list? Obviously, not just number one, but what are some things that the fans need to go and do while they're here for the next 4 days?
Well, to me, when I think about things the fans might like, the number one thing has to be visiting the Rocky statue. Philadelphia's number one icon as a fighter. So you want to visit his statue, which is in front of the Philadelphia Museum of Art steps.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, I've already done it twice, and I've only been here 6 hours.
And have you run up those 76 steps up the Philadelphia Museum of Art steps like he did in training?
Oh, of course. That way I can eat more cheesesteaks.
And I hope you got some nice pictures, too.
No, for sure. A lot of good stuff there with the Rocky. We're also going to do a tour of all of the other Rocky, you know, the gym, the pet shop, all that kind of stuff. So
one of the fun places, I don't know if it's on the tour or not, is Victor Cafe, which is a cafe that's been in Philadelphia a long time. All the servers are opera singers. And
oh, wow.
They break into opera every 20 minutes. And they serve, you know, real good classic Italian food. But the connection to Rocky is that in the later movies, where he worked at Adrian's Cafe, named after his late wife, Victor Cafe was actually where that was filmed.
Oh, really? Okay.
And on the walls where there's all kinds of photographs of opera paraphernalia, they took some of the photographs down and put in boxing pictures and pictures of Adrian, just to make it look authentic.
Very cool. And with me being a big Rocky, then that I need to go there and eat as well as go there because it's Rocky. Oh, I need to stop talking about food, though.
Yeah, definitely. If you're a big Rocky fan, that's the place to go.
All right, give us another couple other things real quick that we need to check out while we're here.
Well, I don't think you can come to Philadelphia without having a cheesesteak. And there are two places to do that. One is to go down to South Philadelphia to the Italian market, to the corner of 9th and Passyunk, and go to Pat's and Gino's.
Right.
You go to one, send your friend to the other, and then split halves so you can try both, because everybody likes one or the other better.
That's an amateur move. What veterans need to do is go to both and eat a whole one at both.
Well, there you go. And then when you do, it's very important you eat it like a Philadelphian. You got to lean forward so it doesn't drip on your shirt.
Sure.
The other place, great place to get a cheesesteak is Reading Terminal Market, which is our 125-year-old farmer's market. That's right in the heart of the city.
My favorite in there, it's called a train wreck. And it's a Philly cheesesteak with everything else that they have on the counter. You know, there's all sorts of stuff in it. So, I mean, that's my favorite in the Reading Terminal. Where can people pick up your books?
They can get my books online at 100thingstodoinphiladelphia.com. Or if they're already on their way here, they can get it at Barnes & Noble. They can get it at the Independence Visitor Center next to the Liberty Bell. They can get it at bookshops all over Center City.
Awesome. I strongly recommend it. I'm going to get over to the Liberty Bell later today. I'm going to pick me up a copy. Irene, thank you very much for your time, and hopefully our fans can hit as many things as possible while they're in my city, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Irene, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Let's welcome, and it's been, and I know that I mentioned this to you as you walked by, a little over 4.5 years. Tampa Branch, how are you?
I'm feeling good.
I'm sure a lot of things have changed in the last 4.5 years.
Yeah, for the better.
Philadelphia, like I said, I was born here. I was stationed here in the military. What does it mean to come to a city that, quote unquote, is known as a fighting city, but Michael just joked as well, it's also known as the city of brotherly love, kind of an oxymoron. Does coming to Philadelphia mean what it does to me, to you, because it's a fighting city?
Absolutely. You know, so it's a part of putting my history, adding to that history that's already here, you know. I'm really happy to be here and happy to perform on Saturday.
I always ask the athletes when you come to a city, and it may be a city you like, it may be a city I don't like, but there's always things to go and do and see, but it's a business trip. So how do you walk that fine line of it's business, stay off your feet, but you have to go see the Rocky statue. You have to go do some things.
I mean, I guess I like to do some stuff like the week before the fight or like leading up to the fight. So, I mean, after this, I'm just going to go shopping. You know, just some stuff like that, you know. And
what are you out shopping for? What are you purchasing?
I'm just going to pick up a couple of pieces of clothes, something like that, you know. just treat myself to something, you know, something nice. I've been working really hard, and I haven't really had a chance to get anything nice for myself, so I'm going to do something like that.
Well, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. Do you collect memorabilia?
Like fighter memorabilia, like my gloves. I have almost every pair of my gloves from my MMA fights. Sometimes my shorts, it depends on how rough the fight was and how memorable it was. I'll frame it. The posters I'll hang up in my gym, you know, so that stuff does mean something to me.
How about other memorabilia? And you never know what kind of answers you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And I've asked athletes for years, memorabilia. And a lot of times it's just the same stuff. So one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was on the show and he said, well, I really don't collect memorabilia, but if I wanted something, I would want Jesus Christ sandals. And I'm like, I've never heard that. And that's odd. I don't know of any piece of memorabilia that would be cooler than that. And I'm Jewish, but it would still be cool of what it is. So, I mean, is there anything out there?
Well, those sandals will be worth a lot of money.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, it's just throughout my journey, anything that really is meaningful. You know, obviously, if you travel somewhere, if, you know, somebody who's really important to you gave you something, you know, I'll keep stuff like that. It's just a memory of the time and the experience and the time that I shared with that person. Right. And that's about it.
Been a pro 11 years ish.
Yep.
How is training? How has the sport for you changed from 11 years ago to this week, fight week?
I mean, it's like, it's not just, you know, a bunch of guys getting in the gym together and like, you know, just having a hard training session. Everything is super scientific. The preparation is almost Olympic level with every athlete now, especially the elite level athletes. You know, they have a much more scientific approach to it. Your preparation has to be done properly, you know, nutrition. And you have to be around the right people, you know. You have to be around people who are really taking this serious and they really pay attention to what's going on out there, keeping up to date. And making sure that they keep you focused as the fighter, because you know I'm from the throwback times, almost when it was called NHB, right. And it's not like that anymore. It's not about flicking a jab and taking a shot on somebody and then being able to submit them because you're a black belt. Sometimes that doesn't work anymore. So you got to like be able to really like you know, have a more well-rounded approach to the game, and be able to be prepared for the different things that are gonna, you know, that are going to come up inside the octagon or the cage.
What was it like that first time when it did kind of change, you know, from what it used to be to now there is science involved and all that, when it finally like, you know, hit you like, wow, we're now here where we were there before?
For me, it was my last fight. You know, I was still just doing certain things based on my talent and skill level and like things that I had accomplished from before. And, you know, my last fight, I knew it was changing, but like I was still stubborn. I was like, I'm going to do this the old way. I'm going to do it the old way. And, you know, after my last fight, I said, all right, if you want to really make any damage in this sport and you really want to like turn some heads, you're really going to have to do some things a little different. Your preparation is going to have to be different. You're going to have to like X out some people from your circle. You're going to have to add new people in your circle, people that are like going to be meaningful. You know what I mean? People who are going to like, you know, make you better and help push you towards these goals, you know? Yeah, I got a goal that I'm trying to get towards, but I can't do it all by myself. So I had to get new training partners, everything like that. The way that I prepare my body, you know, nutrition, everything. Everything is different.
How difficult is it to get those right people around you? Because you don't always want the people that are going to say what you want them to say. Mm-hmm. You need them to say what they need to say. How difficult is it?
I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. You know, I'm a very honest person with myself. So I know that, you know, sometimes I misjudge character and stuff like that. And you're always going to get people who have certain agendas. But as long as the main goal is them wanting you to win and they understand that that's trickle off for them and they're going to be able to benefit from that, then we're all in. We're in it together. You know, I look good. You guys look good, too. You know, right. So you get guys like that. And then you get a good group of guys as your team members. You know, you get people who like who understand how to prepare and have a professional approach to the game. And you'll be fine. But it's, to answer your question, it's difficult, you know, to be able to find these things because I'm not with a big team, you know. So I had to like really seek these things out. You go to a big team or something like that, it's pretty much set up for you. Everything is already kind of like they got a system. Everything is set up. You know, they have your training program, your regimen. Everything is already set up. You know, when you're doing it on your own, the way I was doing it, I was just like, you know, bringing in different guys, you know, right. Most of them who were like elite level athletes in a particular sport, but not really in the sport that I'm competing in. So that doesn't really work either, you know, so I had to change that approach a little bit.
Well, but it also has to be difficult to have people around, you know, who are going to say something that might be negative. You know, mm-hmm. You need to do this, David, you know, mm-hmm. When you don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. So it's tough on you to accept it and tough for them to say it sometimes.
Well, I mean, to make that process a little easier, you just have to really surrender and being a student again. And regardless of all of the accolades that you've accomplished from before, you just got to kind of put that in the past and say, okay, I'm ready to learn everything all over again. You know, we still keep the things that have been working, but we're going to add on these new things. And you got to have that open mind to be able to receive this information. All right. You can be around all the good people that you want. If you're not receptive to the information that they're giving you, then they're just talking to the wall. You know, you're not going to change.
Strangest, funniest thing that you've ever thought about in the middle of a fight?
The strangest thing that I've ever thought of?
And where I got that from, I asked a fighter once, and I was just telling Michael this too, he was fighting Dennis Siever, mm-hmm. who's from Germany.
I would say how strong somebody was, you know?
Oh, really?
You know, somebody's strength or how hard somebody hit, you know, or just in limbo state. I think that, like, in fights that I've lost, I was definitely in certain cases in limbo state. And what I mean by that is just that you're not on the here and now. You're not focused on the task that's in front of you. You're in a place where you're worried about what's going to happen if you lose. You're in a place that you're worrying about, like, you know, what your fans are going to say, what people and your friends. You're worried about, like, disappointing different people. You're not even in the now, you know what I mean? So that I've recognized in fights where I've been there. My last fight, I was there, you know? And I can see when other fighters are there very easily now.
You're in the middle of a fight. Are you having a great time? Are you thinking, hey, this is a lot of fun? Or, you know, it's work and you really can't even think that way, that you have to worry about what's next.
Most of the time when I'm zeroed in, like the way that I plan to be zeroed in this Saturday, I don't hear a goddamn thing. I mean, I hear my coaches. Oh, sorry. I don't hear anything. I hear my coaches and I hear one or two voices. I don't hear the crowd, right? Because I'm really zeroed in. You know, but like, is it fun? Yes, it's fun when you're doing everything right, but I never get relaxed. It's almost like a play played serious. You know, right. You don't get too relaxed and like go out there and showboat. That's not my style. But, you know, you know, when I'm out there and I'm in my rhythm, I know it. And I just keep going and I keep chipping and keep chipping and keep chipping until, you know, whatever structure that I'm chipping at collapses.
How can you block out fans, but you hear your coaches, who I understand, you know, you're around them all the time. But what if there's like another teammate or another friend that's in? Are you able to pick that out and know their voice?
Sometimes, you know, when you're in limbo state, I feel like you're able to pick up on a lot of things. The fans, you're able to, like, you know, hear the people's coaches and stuff like that, because you're not paying attention to the task at hand. When you're so zeroed into the task at hand, you really don't focus on those things. You'll get cued in with certain things that the opponent's corner is telling him. And then you're definitely listening to your corner, because that's what you were trained to do during the times and the weeks building up to it. But, you know, other than that, like you're just focused.
What should we expect to see Saturday night?
A very focused David Branch from here on out in the rest of my career. You know, I'm very hungry again. I'm super hungry. Just to prove to myself, you know, what it is that I can do, what it is that I came here to do. I came here for one objective and I need to get it done one fight at a time. And somehow during the process, I lost sight of that. You know, I mean, I had a lot of outside stress.
Well, and you had a lot of success too.
I had a lot of success, but, like, you know, not to, you know, take away from anybody who had beat me, but, like, I, you know, those fights, I have to let it be known. I had a lot of outside stress, man. I had a lot of things going on with my children that people don't even know about. And I don't say these things because I'm not that kind of person, you know, but those things definitely weigh down on you. It's emotionally draining, man. When you have the wrong people around you, you know, you're going through these disputes. You can't see your kids. You know what I mean? You know, any man is going to get affected by these things, you know, and you see people, you're going to this big organization and you see the true nature of people start to come out, because I'm very receptive to people's energy. So it's very easy for me to be able to see what a person's up to. And then sometimes you don't like what you see. That's draining. Sure. You got the wrong people around you, you know? So, you know, sometimes when you get your eyes open to things, you know, it could be a good thing. And sometimes it could be a bad thing. You know, for me, I think that it was good. That certain things happened in my last fight and in the fights before that I'm able to, like, really, like, look back at, and because I was able to change those things.
Can you learn just as much after a victory as you can after a loss?
Absolutely not. I mean, because a victory will mask those things. You know, when I fought Thiago Santos, I still had those problems, but the victory was so sweet that we didn't feel that we needed to change anything. And I had a lot of problems, and those problems came to fruition, and I was able to see some of those things more clearly after I lost.
How do you relax, whether it's fight week or next week? Is it two different things that you need to do to relax?
Absolutely. What I do is I focus on what I need to do for that day. I don't think about the fight on Saturday. I don't think about the weigh-ins. I think about those things on the day that they're supposed to happen. I don't live in the and I can't control tomorrow. Today is Wednesday, and I'm living in Wednesday. You know, this is, you know, I'm here. I'm doing everything that I need to do. I'm focused on what I need to be doing in my training later on tonight. I'm focused on my nutrition. I'm focused on, like, how I'm going to relax. I'm focused on the books that I'm going to read and things like that, you know. And then when tomorrow comes, I will focus on that day.
That's awesome. That's interesting. How about next week? Are you not even worried about how you're going to relax next week until next week?
You got to plan, right? Because we're adults, right? And I plan on spending some time with my family, my kids, you know. They deserve that. You know, I've been taking a lot of time away from them over the years, you know, and I want to give some of that back. You know, I got to give that back because it gives me a great deal in return, you know, seeing my mom, seeing, you know, my brothers, my sisters, and seeing my children, you know. Finally, I'm able to, like, start to see my children a little bit more, you know, so I think that these things are going to pay dividends, you know, for me and my performances later on.
What do you think? Final question for you. What have you thought? Because you don't know what you're going to think on Saturday as you're walking to a cage. Is it different every fight?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when I walk to the cage, I'm thinking about what I need to do and what it is that I trained on. I'm thinking about all of the things that I went through to breed confidence. I'm thinking about positive reinforcements. I'm not thinking about anything else. Because these are all distractions, you know. Fear is nothing but, you know, things that have not even happened yet. It's something that you're making up. So I can't feed the boogeyman, you know. I got to make sure that I feed the person that has, you know, led me to more victories and success and tap into those things, you know. That's where I need to be.
Good stuff. David, thank you very much for your time. Let's not make it another 4.5 years.
I know.
Let's try to get you on before. And for coming on the show, we're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong. Mm-hmm. So if you can put your info down there, we'll get a package sent out to you.
Got it.
Thank you very much. David Branch, Saturday night, ESPN. How cool is that to continue to say, though, Matt? ESPN. I mean, it's cool.
It's incredible to say.
Well, then say it.
I love saying it. ESPN. It's the big show.
And I believe it's an hour earlier. Which
That's
is
even better. Which makes sense.
It's normally good, but it's not good for me this week because, like I said, I can't drop my car off till 4 a.m. So I want to stay at the arena as long as possible.
I think the thing you didn't mention in the Dave Branch is, you know, his success in the World Series of Fighting.
Right.
Yeah, he was the champ. He had 10-0. He was the double champ. He was two weight classes and, tie for the second most wins in history with Justin Gaethje, who is headlining the fight night in Philadelphia.
You are correct, sir. Did you see the Buccaneers signed another quarterback?
Who they signed?
Blaine Gabbert.
Really?
I don't know how much sense that makes other than just to have another arm there. I mean, I think they're going to stay with Griffin, with RG4. I honestly think they're only going to go with two as well.
Did you call Ryan Griffin RG4?
What, is this your first day on the planet? We've been calling him RG4 for 3 years.
That's classic.
It's good stuff.
Oh, man. I assume you're making moves to get rid of Griffin if you bring in Gabbert.
No, not at all. You're not bringing Gabbert in to replace Ryan. I don't think so.
We trade Fitz Magic out, so he's going down to Miami.
Right.
So who's your number two?
Griffin's going to be your number two. And then
really?
If they keep
you think Griffin, so?
I think so. I think Griffin is going to be your number two. I truly do.
We'll wait and see. I don't know.
All right. We're 51 minutes into the show, minus the 3 minutes to start, minus the one break. So we're about 42 minutes of talking, and we haven't talked about Superman and his punch last Saturday in Nashville.
Your boy. I think we'll have to go back to the tape and the archives, but I think I called that fight. I think I called that victory.
I don't think you did. I think you agreed with Sean when Sean predicted that fight.
I don't know about that. We've got to go back and run that thing back. But what an incredible finish over a top guy going up in weight. Showtime showing that he still got it.
You know, and that's why I love this sport. You can be down one round. You can be down two rounds. And let's be honest, he lost both those rounds. The only problem is with 5 seconds left, he decided to win not only the round but the fight. And big ups to him.
Hey, the only other fight that lost worse was the Korean Zombie with an elbow. 1 second left.
Well, no. What was it? The other one, when the Black Beast won with 4 seconds left. It's the same thing.
Yeah, Volkov. Like,
are you surprised about the alleged announcement coming from Conor McGregor?
I don't know why the motive. I don't know what the motivation for it is. I mean, I know it's strategic. I know it's so it's setting up either him to go into the Bare Knuckle Federation.
There's no way he does that.
Then it's setting up maybe something for the lawsuit, the civil suit with that iPhone thing, where maybe if he's retired, they can't get money that's current. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of legal or benefit for him to announce that.
Well, we'll see how that whole thing plays out. I'm sure you saw on ESPN again, you know, what was announced the other day. So it will be interesting on Conor. So I don't know if the Miami iPhone thing has much to do with the decision to walk away.
Well, I think I just saw, didn't Floyd Mayweather and Nate Diaz agree to aren't they working out a deal on doing an MMA restricted rules fight?
How do you have an MMA restricted rule fight?
Well, no kicks, no, I don't know, no grappling, no takedowns. I mean, it's got to be like maybe elbows and boxing.
Okay, so here's my take on that. If you're going to have a restricted MMA fight with no takedowns, no wrestling, no jiu-jitsu, no grappling, no elbows, no kicking, wouldn't that just be a boxing event?
Yeah, but with 4 ounce gloves. So it's basically like a boxing match with 4 ounce gloves.
Okay.
But I assume I don't know. I mean, if the UFC, they reportedly said they offered him a 4-fight deal for $1 billion. And he turned it down because he doesn't want to do 4 fights. So I don't know. I mean, would you tune in to see the Nate Diaz Floyd Mayweather hybrid fight?
Well, again, it would depend on what kind of fight it is. Would I watch it? Would I go out to it? You know, two entirely different things. I don't know,
once it goes to the ground, you know, Diaz is just going to, I mean, it's over.
Oh, of course.
There's absolutely no chance that Floyd.
There is no chance that Floyd Mayweather fights a fight where you can go to the ground and grapple.
I mean, they say he's been training with an Olympic wrestler for like 5 years now. They say he's working on his mat skills. So, I mean, never say never. I mean, yeah. Anthony Pettis just knocked out Wonderboy.
No, you're right. You're right. How about next weekend is WrestleMania? And I'm sure you saw the announcement of who the main event is.
No, I didn't see it.
For the first time ever, it's the women. It's Ronda Rousey, and it's the greatest female wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair.
Wow.
And Becky Lynch.
Wow, going with the women is the main event. That's big. That's big news.
And there's some other storylines that are being taken care of, you know, as they're setting up for it up here. I think is it up here in New York again?
WrestleMania this week or next week?
Yeah, next week. Yeah, it is. Right?
I'll look it up.
No, it is. I already got the official yes.
Okay.
Giant Stadium.
I saw the Hart brothers are inducted in the Wrestling Hall of Fame now.
All right, so let me ask you this, because Sean is adamant about this, because he said the same thing about Triple H. So if the Hart Foundation is going into the WWE Hall of Fame, are both of those guys Hall of Famers, or is it just the Hart Foundation is Hall of Famers?
Oof.
I know.
I don't know. That's a tough question.
See, I think it's different. I think if a group goes in, it's different than if a fight goes in. You know, because yeah. I've been adamant about the fight itself. Going in doesn't necessarily make the fighter a Hall of Famer. But I think if the group goes in, if the Miletich Fighting Systems guys go in, then aren't they all Hall of Famers?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been so long ago since I've seen the Harts, like, wrestle. I mean, I don't really remember individually, you know, one or the other, who's better. So it's got to be the group. I mean, just like the Bushwhackers.
Did you just say which? You don't know which one of the Harts was better?
I mean, I guess Bret Hart was probably the headliner, right?
One is the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. So that makes him the best, right?
So it says on the paper.
Exactly. But, you know, Sean was saying that about Triple H because, you know, with D-Generation X going in, that he claims that they're not all Hall of Famers. The group is Hall of Famers.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Did you realize, and I know it happened a week or two ago, and I saw this somewhere, that Masvidal's knockout was at 305 of the round?
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And Rose won it at the same as well of what Denver is. All right, we are at the top of the hour. You know what that means. 1 hour down, 1 hour closer to cheesesteaks. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Stapson. Let's move. Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.